You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, fucked up in May. But of course, today was May. Today was May for many people who thought that the Electoral College was going to turn its... They thought that 37 people were going to say... Well, we're going to vote our conscience because a couple of whiny little babies want us to save the country in their mind, in their warped little mind. So it's so funny that for the third time now they've lost. For the third time they lost. They keep losing. They're getting run over and run over and run over truck to... And here's the best part. We haven't even gotten to the best part yet. We're going to go right to the source, okay? This is NPR, so you know this isn't friendly waters right here. Donald Trump secures Electoral College win with a few surprises. What were those surprises, you might ask? Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States. Yeah, sane people knew that. That's been the case since November 8th, when Trump won 306 electoral votes despite losing the national popular vote to Hillary Clinton by nearly 3 million. But no one cares because that's not what we care about as a republic. A republic. We don't care about the popular vote. Okay? Popular vote is when you're ordering from a pizzeria and you want to vote on whether or not you're doing pepperoni or sausage. Okay, and everybody goes, I'll go pepperoni. And somebody says, you know what, I'll get my own personal pan because I don't want pepperoni. That's where popular vote comes into play. Not when you have the gun to the other head, the head of 49% of the rest of the country who wants to keep their money in their pockets. Or vice versa. It works both ways. Trump secured 304 electoral votes, two fewer than he earned in November. So two defected from him. According to the Associated Press, which tracked results from capital to capital, that was despite a pitched effort by some on the left who wrote letters to Trump electors trying to persuade them to switch their votes or not vote at all and keep Trump short of the 270 needed. Not only did it not happen, but more electors tried to defect from Hillary Clinton Monday than from Trump by a count of 8-2. 8-2. Hillary Clinton looks
done
again.
Done.
She keeps losing. And everybody's like, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Not only did not have, so we talked about it, three Democratic electors in Maine, Minnesota, and Colorado tried to vote for candidates other than Hillary Clinton. The electors' votes, however, were disallowed because of the state rules binding them to statewide popular vote winner. So here's the breakdown over here. Faithless electors mostly came from states Clinton won. So Colorado, a Clinton elector tried to vote for John Kasich and was replaced by an alternate elector who voted for Hillary Clinton. State law required electors to vote for the winner. So we talked about that with Max. Hawaii won by Clinton. One of the state's four electors cast a vote for Bernie Sanders instead of Clinton. Maine, a split vote. Democratic elector voted for Bernie Sanders instead of Clinton. He was ruled out of order when he voted for Clinton in a second vote, so he did not succeed. Minnesota, another Clinton voter, an elector who tried to vote for Sanders, was replaced by an alternate elector who voted for Clinton. State law requires electors to vote for the winner of the state's popular vote. Texas, Trump. This was interesting. Of the state's 38 electors, one voted for Kasich and the other one for Ron Paul. I saw a meme today that said Ron Paul got one electoral vote and still got more than Gary Johnson. A third elector resigned and was replaced by an alternate who voted for Trump. And then, of course, Washington. Four state electors broke ranks to vote against Clinton. Three voted for Colin Powell and one for Faith Spotted Eagle, a Native American woman. So Hillary Clinton, even on the day that most people who were all a part of this Electoral College protest, most people knew that, okay, well, it's probably not going to happen, especially with such a wide margin in which Trump won. But, you know, still, it was going to be the basis of the thing. Look at the protests across the country. Look at the movement to try to take it away. We didn't go down without a fight. And even that was taken from them. Clinton lost more. it's amazing. It's just an amazing turn of events. 2016 was a trying time, but I'm telling you, it turned out to be so comical, and it was just what was needed. What was needed, especially in my life. And here's the best part about this. This is the Wisconsin presidential electors vote. This woman, I'm just going to call her Mothball Sweater Lady, because that's what I believe that this woman smells like, mothballs. Listen to what she says as she's protesting. A woman lost control Monday afternoon when members of the Wisconsin Electoral College delegation met to clarify the results for, you know, the free election. Well, this woman thought that 60-something million people were way out of line, and now these electors have a problem. Listen to this and watch it if you're at home. Any day now.
The votes are 10 votes, Donald J. Trump.
You hear in the background they're doing the Game of Thrones shame. This is ridiculous. Actually, it makes sense. They are sparrows. To be honest, this makes perfect sense. What did we say? We said that the High Sparrow in Game of Thrones was Bernie Sanders. Absolutely. Look at this. This makes complete sense. Complete sense. Listen to this. You're not America. You don't deserve to be in America. This is my America, this crazy mothball lady starts screaming. This is my America. Go back to your fucking shanty.
America, shame. Take me out if you fight. This is my America. You sold us out.
You sold us out. This is a free election, you crazy lunatic. As I blow up. Screaming at lunatic, but you want to see loony. Could take a little time now. Gonna take a little time now to do some housekeeping. So I'm watching the news flow in for the day, and I'm trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about tonight. And from a couple of places, I saw this. I put it aside immediately, and then of course everybody else started thinking the same. Gadget Doc, Joe Olive from Broken Filter Live, Jay from Fight Game, Jay Ostrowski. He was on the show before. He was actually going to come by tonight, but something got in the way. They sent me this. They sent me this amazing video. MTV put out a video. And it's called 2017 Resolutions for White Guys, okay? And it's so embarrassing that I know MTV has gone as far as they could to purge the internet of this thing, and they've been trying to take it down. But obviously, a couple of different places had acquired a copy and whatever. But you've got to listen to this. And I've been waiting all day to get on top of this because it's just, once again, it's just more, it's more lunacy, and it's not fun. It's not fun at all. But I'm going to put the side-by-side, and it's going to be you, me, and the video for about a minute and 20 seconds. That's all it is. A minute and 20 seconds. I'm going to put the video right next to me, and here we are. I'm going to put this on. The Skype is on. No, it's not. Quite frankly, get your Skypes ready. Quite frankly, podcast. I'll put it on after this is over because I want to hear what you have to say about this. Quite frankly, podcast. Get ready. Yeah, let's just get to this.
Hey, fellow white guys.
Fellow white guys, says the white girl.
About to be a new year. And there's a few things we think you could do a little bit better in 2017.
So far, we got prompted. Here's a few things that we could do better. Okay, says the three amigos so far. Ready? Listen to this.
First off, try to recognize that America was never great for anyone who wasn't a white guy.
Okay, bitch. Okay. Well, right off the bat, what do you mean by that? What do you really mean by that? You're gonna have to back it up with some history here. You're going to have to back it up with some history here. And tell me something. What about the countless black inventors and philosophers and statesmen and stateswomen, businessmen and women, soldiers of every defining conflict and cause since the founding of this nation? What are you talking about? Never been great. Listen, life isn't easy. But this is, you know, what about the people? What about all those people out there who found something good here? The many people throughout the ages who found something good here, who fought against adversity, who saw an opportunity in a land that had more freedoms than anywhere else in the world to try to make things right and move us into a right and into a better direction, and were integral parts of that growth. You not being one of them. If you think that you're the tip of the spear here in 2016, you're fucking wrong. Okay, you're not even low man on the totem pole. You are the subterranean part of the totem pole. All right, you're shit. You're absolute shit. You're living in some 2016 fantasy. And you're redefining. The best part is that these people redefine the experiences and the outlooks and all of the love of country that so many black Americans from the time of our founding and especially from the liberation of all the slaves in the South, from the Civil War on, everybody who were integral parts, which was pretty much the second American Revolution to many people, and the Reconstruction that followed, all of those people and all of their outlooks on life, liberty, property, the pursuit of happiness under the American way of life right here in this country. All of their outlooks, whether they had been documented or not, whether they had been famous or just really enjoyed the simplicity of American life wherever they were in their free domain. These little whiny bastards at MTV and all around the country are redefining what the American experience was like for people. We don't have to put aside and whitewash the fact that this country has had many struggles, like many countries do. But no countries have more struggles than free countries because you're not sheltered. You have to be able to withstand the realities of life. And that is that you're not going to be surrounded by people who are friendly all the time or who think the same way. But they're not that evolved. They're not that evolved. They've been coached. Remember what Michelle Obama said in her interview with Oprah that we were watching last night. people look to adults, kids, children look to adults to see what the reactions are, whether or not they, you know, how to handle problems and adversity. Well, if that's the case, here's the children we've been talking about. And these are the kids who are acting on how adults, especially the ones who have been in power for the last 8 years, which has probably been the majority of these kids' lives, at least of their most critical thinking, the first 8 years of their critical thinking adulthoods, they've seen how to look at the world. They've seen to look at everything. They've been taught how to look at everything through the lens of race and victimhood. So there you go, Michelle Obama. There's your kids looking up to the adults of America.
Can we all just agree that Black Lives Matter isn't the opposite of All Lives Matter? Black lives just matter. There's no need to overcomplicate it.
Oh, overcomplicated. Well, fuck you. Fuck you, number one. I mean, it's... Number one. Black Lives Matter was a marketing ploy. Okay? It was a marketing ploy. It all went... It is literally the opposite of All Lives Matter. Because you're saying all lives matter over here, and then you're saying, no, Micro Focus, Black Lives Matter. Not Black Lives Matter too, as well, also, but this was just part of the marketing ploy, which had conflict built into it. That was the whole basis of the marketing of Black Lives Matter. It dares you to bring up the obvious. And then you get this passive-aggressive response from people that kind of shames you and labels you and pushes you into some kind of a racist bigotry box. So sit there, don't overcomplicate it. That's the passive-aggressiveness that was always designed to come out when we take notice of the very obvious thing that is done in marketing Black Lives Matter. And then you go and attack people with it. So, fuck you. You passive-aggressive, manipulative, little just blasé. Oh, God. I can't listen to her again. Just watch. This is what it has been designed to be from the beginning.
Black lives just matter. There's no need to overcomplicate it.
You see, also- you see the Black lives just matter. There's no need to overcomplicate it. You're complicated. Don't be bigoted. I mean, obviously, if you can see the way that I'm talking right now, I'm a lot more cool, calm, intelligent, collected, and you seem to be, I don't know, frazzled. You twerp. You're a fucking twerp.
So, Blue Lives Matter isn't a thing.
Cops weren't born with blue skin, right? I mean, yeah, they weren't born blue.
Stop bragging about being...
Okay, so you're not funny, number one. You're not funny. That wasn't funny. Five-year-olds... would laugh at that. And number two, didn't we just get over the passive-aggressive cunt from before telling us not to complicate things? And then this guy comes out and he starts up with the blue skin reducto ad absurdum thing. He reduces this to the most ridiculous of levels of arguments. Of straw, blue skin. Nobody's saying that cops have blue skin, you fucking idiot. I know you're trying to make an offhand joke and try to get some low IQ, single-celled organism out there to giggle at you. I understand you're looking for a giggle, a cheap laugh, but it's fucking ridiculous. And we just got lectured by the girl before you about not overcomplicating something. You're oversimplifying something to attack it, you fucking idiot, because Black Lives Matter, whether you like it or not, is responsible for policemen's deaths. Whether you like it or not, it is. I know a lot of you say, absolutely not. And inside go, thank God. We know what's inside of you. My God.
Woke. Stop saying woke.
Learn what mansplaining is.
Wait a second.
Stop saying woke.
They
weren't born blue.
Stop bragging about being woke. Stop saying woke.
Can somebody out there, can some kind of a deity come down and say, explain to me, when did white guys start saying woke? The only people I know that say woke and stay woke usually say it as some kind of a sarcastic response to how not awakened the people who actually do say it. And usually it's the Black Lives Matter crowd that's the do with the stay woke shit. They're the only ones that really take grammar and try to butcher it into some kind of a hip hashtag. I mean, for fuck's sake. Stay woke. Tell white guys stop saying stay woke. All right.
Learn what mansplaining is and then stop doing it.
Okay. Oh. Okay there, Professor Menopause. Thanks a lot.
Oh, and if you're a judge, don't prioritize the well-being of an Ivy League athlete over the woman he assaulted.
We all love...
Okay. Well, maybe we should stop... We should also take a look at fake rape accusations and how the media, like Rolling Stone, has been complicit in just lambasting and destroying lives of guys just because a woman wants to accuse them of something, whether it be not taking them up on their offers or regretting it the next day. So, I mean, what do you want? What do you want? Seriously, what do you want? You're not coming at anybody from a basis of reality.
Beyonce. And yeah, she's black, so of course she cares about black issues.
Oh, she's talking about either Tony Beyonce.
I love Beyonce. And yeah, she's black, so of course she cares about black issues.
Beyonce jumped on the Black Lives Matter train because it was a really good marketing opportunity. She'll say whatever, and of course, yes, she probably feels very concerned about the state of the black communities, especially poor, impoverished ones in this country, which she should, because the violence and the degradation that goes on in those communities is real and needs to be addressed, but it needs to be addressed with something other than overbearing, centralized government, one-size-fits-all, money-wasting bullshit.
I'm talking to you, Fox News.
Feel free to take Kanye West.
Fox News? What the fuck? I mean, whatever. What?
So, you guys can have him.
Oh, then Smug Bitch comes back.
Feel free to take Kanye West.
Says, feel free to take Kanye West.
So, you guys can have him.
You know. Same thing that they said about O.J. Simpson. You guys can have him. Because, of course, they're in the business of telling you who you can have and not have, who's black enough, who's colored enough, who is, you know, who is liberal enough. They are they're in the business of discerning of who is what and who is who based on superficial external elements, and they are also in the business of telling you who can go and who can stay and who can own who and who can be a part of where. They're the most fucking conniving groups of freaks. Listen to this.
Ugh. What you did, Kanye. Nobody who has black friends says that they have black friends.
And just because you have black friends...
Nobody who has black friends says that they have black friends? Well, nobody who's black friends says that they have black friends if... they're walking around looking for they're going to the market to buy some bananas and some butter. They want to, I'm going to go buy some orange juice and some bread, and I'm going to tell the clerk that's ringing me up that I have black friends. No, you want to know what usually happens is because you people, okay, he said you people. Because, I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about the beautifully diverse rainbow of people that have been featured in this ridiculous video so far. I know that you take these arguments and you create these problems and you push all of this shit onto people and you actually force them. In many cases, people feel forced. I can tell you, I feel it sometimes when I'm trying to disclaim myself and give out disclaimers and all this stuff to try to qualify myself to have a conversation with people. That's the problem. People only bring up the fact that they have an integrated circle of friends sometimes, most of the time, because we constantly feel this need more and more every day to offer disclaimers to everybody we're trying to have an open conversation with, so that we can be allowed into the conversation. So don't blame us for trying to find some kind of way to legitimize our opinion in a free society. Christ's sake.
Doesn't mean you're not racist. You can be racist with black friends.
Look,
just like you're racist. Just like you're discriminatory. This entire fucking thing has been racist. What, I mean, do you get it? Do you get it?
Guys, we know nobody's perfect.
But honestly, you could do a little better in 2017.
Oh, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I would love to see the fucking dildo skeletons in that chick's closet. And here comes Professor Menopause again with the frazzled hair. She just woke up out of bed and she didn't want it to look like she did her hair because she doesn't care. She doesn't care what people think about her. Look at her hair.
Better in 2017. Some of you guys do a great job.
Some of you guys do a great job. And you can trust me for telling the truth because I don't care what you think about me. Look at my hair. Look at my hair. Look at my hair.
Some of you don't.
Please, because 2016 is bad. 2017 can't be worse than this. Right?
I hope, my friend, I hope it gets really bad for you. I hope 2017 gets really upsetting for you, okay? In all the ways that you get upset. I'm not talking about somebody breaking into your car or something like that. But I hope it gets increasingly unsettling for you. Because I'm sorry, you have no basis in fucking reality, in history, in ethics, anything like that. So to all you, go fuck yourself. And MTV, I'm so glad that you are completely obsolete. Stick to what you're doing. The only thing you're good at is exploiting pregnant teens. Stick to it. Fucking A. So let me put on some music. Let me put on some music. I need to calm down. All right. All right. Let me put on the Skype. I'm going to let you guys simmer in this beautiful sound for a second, and then I want to get you guys on. Okay? And that's the other thing. Stacy in the chat room says, move to Liberia if you hate white people. That is the one thing. That is the one thing they'll never, ever be able to answer. Where in the world, where there is a majority black population, a majority colored person of colored population, would you rather be than the United States right now? Tell me where you would rather be right now other than the United States. Go there, or just at least admit that there is no other place. Once you admit that, then we need to ask ourselves, why? Why is there no better place, even with all of our problems, with how bigger government gets and how things tend to get worse, even though they're espousing for government to get bigger, more influential, and more powerful? Although, they're a little scared right now because they thought that government would be influencing everybody else on behalf of them and their cause for eternity. But the rug was pulled out from underneath grandma, and now there's nobody left. There's nobody left except themselves and looking into the mirror and saying, uh-oh, but that won't happen because they're doubling down. And let them double down. Let them double down on the insanity because 2016, that's why. All right, Skype. I am on, quite frankly, podcast. Anybody that has anything to say about the MTV thing, I will add your comment, because obviously I'm going to cut that down and put it out. I'll probably try to edit it down tonight so I can get it out quickly, because it's starting to trend. But if you call in now, if you want to have your voice attached to that at all, in your opinion, call on in, have an astute statement ready to go. And I will add you right into the end of that video. So, of course, it'll look better if more than one person calls in. So, if only one person calls in, I'll still add you, whatever. According to Trevor Noah, South Africa has so much to teach us about racial equality. Stephanie Evil says from Gaslight.tv. Yeah, South Africa has a great track record for racial equality. We should look at Zimbabwe as well. We should look all over Africa. Great, great human rights records out there. Great, great, great stuff. You know, it's funny. anywhere you look in the world where there is a majority population, an ethnic majority, the minority feels like they're a little bit left out of the party. Even if they're not being brutalized or anything like that, they always feel a little bit less underrepresented because they are the lesser population. So, I mean, representation, as far as percentage, if you're not in the ethnic majority, of course you're going to be a little underrepresented in movies and things like that, cultural thing. You know, everything that we're trying to force these days. And at one time, it was just like, okay, as long as people aren't being rounded up and put into camps and enslaved and all this other shit, then I think that we can learn to get on with it. I think we can learn to get on with it and rectify the logic of the numbers, okay? And just move on. That's just it. Because when you move on, I mean, there's so much. Oh, God. There's just nothing. There's nothing left. There ain't nothing left. So let's see what else we have here. MTV videos. We did that. More electors tried to defect from Hillary than Donald Trump. Ha, ha, ha. We did that. The Wisconsin woman with the mothball sweater in screaming. We did that. That was hilarious. Oh, and here's something I thought was interesting. And then we'll do our thank yous. Here's from the Telegraph. Talk about robot sex again. Sex will be just for special occasions in the future, as robots will satisfy everyday needs. Sex between married couples will increasingly be saved for special occasions as robots step in to satisfy everyday needs, experts have predicted. Well, I'll tell you this. Sex will not stop for women, okay, and alpha males, okay? That's who it will not stop for. Women like affection. Alpha males like giving it out, and the poor saps that are in their basement humping a rump of rubber, is going to find sex coming a little bit less frequent than just good special occasions and holidays. But I can just see it. I can just see it now. It's Valentine's Day. The year is 2024. Tom, we'll call him, sits anxiously in traffic on the way home from work. He's thinking about the night of romance that awaits him. The kids are at their grandmother's house. The wife is on a business trip. And Michelle, the rubber 5'6" French maid, has already been waiting patiently and self-lubricating for hours back at home. And that is going to be his Valentine's Day. It's going to be a great future. So check that out. I don't even want to get into there. So they're just talking about more things that robot sex is going to open up for the entirety of humanity. And then, speaking of a woman who has the power to send millions of men into the arms of a robot, Lena Dunham, I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had, she says.
She should abort herself right now.
She can. I mean, listen, a woman has the right to abort at any time. It's her body. It's her. The child is her. So she should take her life into her own hands and say, "Do I really have a purpose on the earth?" Of course, she would say very self-righteously, "I do have a purpose on the earth. I'm here to be a warrior for feminism."
Fuck it. She looks like a used maxi pad.
I'm going to get Perry has joined us on the air right now. What's going on, Perry?
What's going on, Frank? How you doing?
Oh, dude, first of all, I love your letters. They're fantastic.
I love you, Frank. You're awesome, buddy.
No, I love you, man. God damn it. So what's on your mind, man?
Man, this robot sex business is really wild.
Now, a previous one that we talked about said that couples would be starting to use robots for threesomes without getting jealous. Would that be something you and Stacy ever consider, having sex with a robot, double teaming it?
No, we would double team something with a pulse.
See, at least we still have real people out there. So what? So what else is going on in your mind?
Well, That MTV video is absolute garbage, man.
Goddamn.
That's garbage because this whole check your white privilege. As a white person, I'll never do that because I don't have any more privilege than anybody else.
It's hard to try to explain that to people though, Perry. That's the really weird thing. And it all goes back to what I say. The last 8 years has been transformative in the way that this is where this type of language has come from. We've heard the words like problematic be used, where we use privilege and check your privilege and this and that, mansplaining, manspreading. This has been a creation of the last insane 8 years. And we heard the first lady last night talking to Oprah, talking about what kids look up to adults. Well, this is what the adults have given to the kids now.
I think it's cyclical, Frank. Yeah. I think what happens is for a society to prosper, you know, you need men in male roles and you need women in female roles. And they are so complementary to each other. They help each other. And then when there's a clear and present danger in society, women appreciate men because that's the cannon fodder. That's the guy who's going to, you know, sacrifice himself for them. And then as society becomes safer and there's less danger, women start to view men as the danger. And that happens until that society collapses and the cycle repeats.
That's very, very profound stuff right there. And it's true. And, you know, I think we spoke slightly to that point, too, where you talk about the collapse of that society. One night on the air, I had gone off about what I felt about the feminist mentality of the girl power and where girl power needs to be suspended at one point and realism needs to set in. Yes, we have a society that has allowed women to excel and has allowed women to rise up, to be honest, beyond the influence of men in many cases right now. But the whole thing here is not to shun that. We should definitely celebrate equality that Western culture has provided us the platform to achieve, but when that collapse happens, when we get too comfortable, when we go back to the rules of the jungle, as we've seen all throughout human history for over tens of thousands of years, when it's rules of the jungle again, the women don't seem to have the protection of that very fragile society, the authority that's there waiting on them and serving every beck and call. It's very, very, rude awakening for people to realize that all of the power and the influence they have is based on this construction of a house of cards that can be blown over at any time. And then when you're just a babe in the woods, you're going to wish you had the gun. You're going to wish you had the man by you. You're going to wish all of that stuff. It's just true. And we can be in our ivory tower right now and say, well, it's not going to happen. This is America. Okay. All right. Look at history. Don't look at right now.
Well, I can tell you that I'm pretty sure only the powerless are obsessed with power. And whenever I encounter a feminist, because, you know, women live lives of a rock star when they're young. You know, they got 50 dudes and they're all dorks and losers and they're waiting on her beck and call to give her anything she wants. They live life like a rock star and they think it's going to last forever. And then they turn about 50 and hit menopause and nobody will even give them a second look. So every time I see a feminist being a feminist, I just think about her when she's 50.
And that's when the real shrieking starts, when they realize that they're not even attractive enough to be listened to, you know. And I hate for that to come out so ugly, but it helps a lot. I mean, it sounds bad, but I don't know.
It's just nature. It's just nature.
Dude, you should call in more often. You've added some really great things to this broadcast tonight.
I love your show, Frank. You're awesome, buddy.
Hey, man. Thank you, and thanks, Stacy, too.
No problem.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon. I can't wait to get back up to Mohegan Sun. We haven't been there in a couple of years now. Do you know if there's any really good concerts coming up there soon?
There should be some coming up soon. They always got something awesome going on. Let me know if there's one that you want. Maybe I can talk to Stacy about helping out somehow.
Dude, last time we went up there, it was for Muse. So I would love to I'd love to keep a finger to the pulse of what's going on so we can all chill, have some drinks, and play some blackjack or something.
Well, I don't drink, but we can all smoke a bowl with you anytime, brother.
Okay, I don't like drinking either that much, so we can do that.
You know, it's really something, Frank. Alcohol actually shuts down different parts of the brain the more you imbibe it. And considering how much people go out of their way to work, to go to a bar, to turn their brain off, it's no wonder progress isn't made on this planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, me on a personal level, it does something to me biochemically. Like I think I might have some kind of a slight allergy to alcohol or something, because the minimal amount will give me some kind of a reaction in my stomach that I'm just like, this was a mistake.
Yeah, it's always a mistake when I drink. Yeah. The world isn't safe when I drink.
Well, then don't worry about that. We won't go down that road. We will go down the more herbal route.
Yes, sir. I like that. Holistic healing right there.
That's it, man.
That heals you from the inside out.
That's it. I never heard anybody know. The best thing about this, and Perry, thank you so much for the call, man.
No problem, Frank. I gotta hang up soon.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, brother.
Later. Man, that's great. People want to hear. Guys, let me tell you something at home. People want to hear your voices. And it also, I mean, people are going to start believing that all the people in the chat room that I say are in the chat room. They're not going to believe that you're there. Call in, because that was great. Robin in the chat room says, play a Rod Stewart song. You know, Robin actually suggested, what was the Rod Stewart song? Three strikes, three times you're out. She suggested opening up with that because it's three strikes now with the trying to defeat Donald Trump. Just didn't work. Keeps working, and every time they lose more. I can't believe that Hillary lost more electoral votes than Trump, 8-2.
Did you actually think the Democrats would come through for once?
No. I didn't. I did not. Well, for once, I mean, they have a knack of pushing through. I'm just talking about. Well. There's no doubt in my mind that they were not going to overturn 37 electoral votes. But the fact that when it came down to it, the final tally was 4-1. Hillary Clinton losing to, oh my God. That's
the fact that there are even people willing to do it and talking about it, knowing that it would fucking start a fucking war in this country is disgusting.
Well, they don't have a lot.
Not like a war where we're going to go like riot in the fucking streets. You're going to piss off every person that voted for the guy, and most of those people are armed.
Here's from Alina Dunham, though. On the latest episode of her podcast, which I don't know why anybody... You know, when we were just joined... When we just joined the podcast community with this show, because for a while there, I wasn't streaming. Like, if you go to SoundCloud, I think we have... I don't know how many... A couple of hundred episodes there. There's at least 300 more episodes that were not on the podcast. We're late bloomers when it comes to that. But the first couple of weeks that we were on iTunes, we were always beating out... Lena Dunham. It was great. I wish we can have a surge like that and climb in those in the charts again. That would be awesome. Seriously, even if you don't listen to the podcast, go on iTunes and just like it, subscribe to it, leave a review. I love reading the reviews. So, on the latest episode of her terrible podcast, Woman of the Hour, or Women of the Hour, Lena Dunham focuses on reproductive choice, including, the reproductive choices, shut your clam or wear a condom. Come on. Reproductive choice. Including the stigma around abortion. Well, she shares a story of visiting a Planned Parenthood in Texas and being asked to share her abortion story, only to find herself admitting that she had never had an abortion and realizing that she had internalized the stigma against the practice herself. Here's a quote that I hope that I can bear through. I wanted to make it really clear to her that as much as I was going out and fighting for other women's options, I myself had never had an abortion. And I realized that even I was carrying within myself stigma around the issue. Even I, the woman who cares as much about any woman's right to choose, of course, not the right to choose anything nice or anything that contributes to a growing, thriving society, right to choose, I felt it was important that people know that I was unblemished in this department. She continues by saying that so many people in her life, including her mother and best friends, have had abortions. But of course, her mother had the wrong abortion, prompting her to take her internalized stigma and put it in the garbage. She concluded with, "Now I can say that I still have an abortion. I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had." Ladies and gentlemen, this is... Honestly, if the life of the mother is at risk, I am for abortion. I am for that type of stuff. And to be honest, if you are willing to shoulder that kind of moral weight upon yourself and you have the money to get it done, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I know that doesn't, and maybe my stance changes on that. Maybe it gets a little bit more stringent the more I see what's done to these children. And what partial birth abortions are really like, okay? What do they call it? Dilation, I forget. Dilation, extraction. In either case, it's horrific. It's horrific. If you watch this stuff, and if you've watched an abortion, if you've seen the abortion from the inside, if you've seen an abortion from the outside. If you've just seen this stuff, you've seen children that you know at less than five months, you have kids that are surviving an incubation. So for the fact that anybody thinks that banning it, even at 20 weeks, is obscene and it is reproductive slavery, then all you're seeing here is people like Lena Dunham taking this horrific thing and neutralizing the terminology behind it, neutralizing all of the conversations to try to take away what is really going on, the horror show that is really going on. Joining us right now is Stephanie Evil, a staff writer for Gaslight.tv. Stephanie, what is going on?
How are you tonight? You've been on a roll.
I'm glad you like it so far. I can't wait to hear what you have to say, though.
So a few things. On the MTV, the Dear White Guys part of the podcast, of that video, they make it seem as if all of the progress that happened in this country in terms of women's rights and civil liberties happened without any participation from white males whatsoever. That this all happened without white men fighting in the Civil War, or fighting for civil rights, or, you know, agreeing to reforms that enabled women to have equality. And that, to me, is just absolutely ignorant and stunning.
It's so well said. So well said. And in the greatest ignorance that it points out is their ignorance to history. To be able to stand there with a straight face and go through all of this bullshit and not even be able to check themselves and say, you know what, I can't even really say this because the abolition movement. What is this? It's like, what the fuck do people think? But they have been given this confidence to go out and roll out all of these catchphrases, buzzwords, and everything else, hashtags, and they go along with it because they've been patted on the back, they've been thrown their doggy treats, they've been wound up, put into a certain direction, and just let free. That's it.
And also what Perry was talking about with wanting to with feminist sort of, at least the current trend in feminism, I'm not even talking about first wave or second wave, but at least like the way it's starting to turn into right now. And at first I thought it was kind of crazy to even think this sort of way, but I'm wondering if part of the whole trend right now in terms of demonizing any sort of expression of traditional masculinity, and I guess the sort of, I don't want to say femination of women, of men, has a lot to do with sort of breaking down any sort of defenses that we might have as a traditional country and as a society in order to just get plowed over, whether it be by, you know, globalists or you know, by foreign invasion.
Absolutely. No, it's without a doubt you've hit it right on the head. This is about the state, just like our CIA destabilizes countries in their own way. We've been destabilized by a Marxist ideology, and that goes to attacking everything. And if you can disillusion a population into even questioning what their gender roles are, what kind of future are you setting yourself up for? It's an aimless place right there. And you know, you think about Western society and why it's so important and why the balance that was struck in Europe, even though they economically they went very far, they went very left after World War II. And even we followed that path after the Cold War as well. But Europe and the United States is where you saw this balancing act and this equilibrium starting to be achieved between men, women. We still had these traditional roles, but we all had equal say, and we were influencing policy in the same way, and that equilibrium was starting to be achieved. Now it's being knocked off to be going into the extreme. Other way, you can say that, of course, I mean, society was very patriarchal for very many years, and we were very backwards in the way that we expected women to make choices in their lives and what mm-hmm. they had. You know, we had all of that to overcome, but to have the pendulum swing so far back the other way is just as dangerous, but I would say even more dangerous, because now the one thing you can say about, you know, as Michael Savage would say, the Eddies and the Ediths of the Greatest Generation, even though life at home was probably not the best thing, the most free thing for women in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, there was still, because there was the patriarchal sense of things, there was still a sense of order, and there was a sense of defense, and there was a little bit more something
Thing is, with having the power, with men having power also meant having more responsibility foisted on them. And I think what we're sort of seeing now with this total shift of basically men being treated as if they're worthless, honestly, means that they're not even going to be willing to help you or protect you if you see no value to their existence at all. And I think it's making women, a lot of women particularly, unhappy, because society is essentially transforming men into people that you would have no desire to sleep with or be in a relationship with at all.
Yeah. What it's breaking down to, because the alphas will always be there, and that's who the women always really want. But we've turned so many people, we've shamed so many people into becoming supine, subservient, really, really soft men, that you have this almost like a weakling class. I hate to say it, because they're still good people, but there's just a shaming that has gone on and continues to go on that is not going to help anybody. You pointed everything out. You framed it very, very well. And
just a final point, when you were talking about Lena Dunham, which, I mean, whenever you talk about Lena Dunham, it's essentially like shooting fish in a barrel.
It's a caricature. She's a caricature. I understand that.
She's like not even a human being at this point.
I understand.
But I commented this on Facebook, but in her book where, you know, of course she talks about the sister that she molested, she talks about being jealous of the fact that her sister was gay. And that, you know, that somehow made her sister, like, kind of special and different. And that's just part of her shtick, is just and it ties into, I'm not surprised that she has this attitude about abortion, because it's anything that's sort of taboo or might cause someone a personal hardship. Like, she feels this desire to appropriate for herself, because that's, like, the only way she knows how to get attention and recognition, is by being a victim.
Yes. I totally see what you're saying, and I totally agree. And like I said, it is like shooting fish in the barrel, because when you talk, there are people out there that you can have a very, very balanced discussion with about, you know, the role of people in society and whether or not there's indiscretions going on here, or inequalities in certain phases that can actually be addressed, and maybe we can debate about. But she's not one of those people. She is a caricature of some of the most extremely ignorant parts of that movement. So thank you for pointing all that out. I hope you call in more often, Stephanie. This is fantastic. You have anything new coming out for Gaslight soon?
Yeah, so I still have, I'm going to be working on this week, the Believe Women or Due Process blog that I've been talking about. So that's going to be coming up this week.
Fantastic. Can't wait. Everybody check her out, all of her past work on Gaslight.tv. Stephanie Evil is her name. And thank you so much for calling in. I can't wait to get you in on this this highlight reel I make tonight.
Thank you. Take care. All have right. a good night.
Take care. Hey, guys, remember, also, it's not one and done. If you hear something else and you want to call in and nobody else is calling in, call back. The lines are on. So remember that. Oh, so we... Very human. All right, time to kick it. What's going on, Johnny Charles? I see you in the chat room. Let me stop everybody and say... This show is funded and is being grown by your support. People like Perry and Stacy Little, they're amazing. They're a part of the 1776 Club. Patreon.com/quitefrankly. Check it out. There's a 1776 Club, the 1984 Club. There's the $10 Club where you can be part of all the Google Hangouts we do every month and be part of the production crew pretty much. Or you can just go up there and to the Patreon and can drop in $1 a month just so that you can officially be a contributor. It does not matter. I really, really appreciate what you guys have done for me and this show, and have you become a part of this show. And I have goals on that site that I want you to check out. Maybe you can be a part of it. Maybe you know a business that would really jive with what we're doing here and would like to be one of our first sponsors. Maybe you have all that, you know? Who knows? By all means, help support the show, because the more we grow, and you'll see what I had planned on the Patreon when we hit certain levels, the goals, the $500 goal, the $1,000 goal a month, where the show goes, it expands in time. It'll be at least an hour and a half, then a two-hour show. Then it's a traveling show at $3,000 an hour. We start taking little road trips and do history spots and lessons and bigger interviews. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great thing to grow with, and I'm not going to stop. And especially since I see that you guys enjoy it so much, and it is your show, why stop? So let me pause for a minute, as it is another one of the perks of being a contributor. You get a shout-out at every show. And of course, this list is getting longer and longer, so I'm going to have to make the show longer just to be able to get the shout-outs in at some point. So we're starting with Michael Wells. Mr. Wells, Orson Welles' son. And then you have Nikki Winter Solstice, which is tomorrow, right?
You should just stay home, bro.
The solstice is tomorrow. No, they said about January. They said the last note said something about January.
I'm pretty sure the winter every solstice you're in danger.
No, you said bird.
I didn't say anything.
I mean, the note writer that left the note on my car said the Burgeon Moon.
Sturgeon Moon.
Oh, see, you remember.
I remember. I need to remember these things.
So when is the Sturgeon Moon?
The Sturgeon Moon? Oh, that's, you know, that already passed, bro.
Really?
I think so. The Sturgeon Moon is in, like, I think May or June or something.
Oh, hold on. Let me see this.
But I know the solstice is a time when you're in grave peril.
Rogi says that the winter solstice is right now there in France. Of course, it's the 21st, which is, of course...
Our great allies are about to... our old great allies over there in France quite possibly could be breaking off of the EU soon.
Some Native American tribes call the August moon the Sturgeon Moon.
The August, yes. That's when they're going back upstream to reproduce for the next
What are they, salmon?
Season's offspring, yes. Or sturgeon, I guess. I don't know.
The natives were salmon?
I don't know. All I know
Johnny,
is...
Johnny Charles in the chat room says, Joe Rogan's first podcast sponsor was Fleshlight. If you keep dissing this sex robot, you'll never get picked up. You sure? It's actually true. It's true. Could you imagine the irony of that? The first sponsor that comes around and says, listen, I want to give you $50,000 for the year. Is some sex robot company? I'd say, well, absolutely.
Dude, I'd fuck it on air.
I would, like, $50,000 to pump into this show, I would fuck it on air every night.
I'd blast a rope all over its robotic face.
You know, the best thing is, we'll set up a camera. We have the tripod right over here. We could set it up, and we'll, so we could, well, like, what angle would we give them? Would we give them the behind, the doggy style angle from behind?
Dude, we'll have a camera crew, bro.
It's got to be something. You know what would be the most awkward thing with having sex with a robot is when they're on top of you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to make them straddle you, and then you have to, like, grab them, I guess, by the neck and stuff and kind of, like, you know. There's got to be something going on there.
It's
going
to be a lot of dick injuries soon, I think.
Yeah. No, that will happen. I would like to see that. That's actually one thing that we haven't predicted yet. So thank you for bringing that up.
Bunch of bent dicks. People are going to be coming to fucking crooked cocks.
Does anybody think that there's going to be somebody keeping those numbers? Is Joe going live at 8? No, not tonight. I wonder if somebody's going to be taking those numbers of how many injuries per year of having sex with a robot. It has to happen. Has to. First of all, there's going to be some kind of rug burn. I don't know. Somebody make it happen. Go out there, be an account executive for me. But tomorrow is the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year, which means that every day from tomorrow on, we get a minute of sunlight back, which is fantastic, which means it can only get better from tomorrow on. It is also December 21st is the day that the famed 3 days of darkness was supposed to come and take over the earth. Which was also the day that the Mayan calendar was supposed to mark the end of the earth. So there's a couple of conflicting and overlapping mythologies, both in Christian and Mayan mythologies, that focus around December 21st. That always intrigued us, especially the 3 days of darkness. That, of course, is the day that all of the demons in hell would be let out onto the earth, and all of the light of the sun will be blotted out for 3 days. And you are not supposed to do anything during those 3 days but pray by the light of a blessed candle. No other electronics or anything else will work. The only light that will be allowed to burn bright will be that of blessed candles. And you are not, under any circumstances, to answer the rapping on the door, the rapping on the window of people from the outside who claim to be people that you know and love trying to come in. Please let me in. It's just me. I promise. Because it's supposed to all be demons. And that's supposed to keep us all safe. Check that out, the 3 days of darkness. Very interesting. And going on that note, 3 days of darkness, there is something here that is a little bit creepy. So we did that. Sex will be for special occasions. Then we did Lena Dunham. Berlin terror attack. We're going to do that a little bit tomorrow. I want to get into that tomorrow. Of course, the truck that plows into the crowd of Christmas shoppers. It was Islamic terror once again.
Yep.
And now we're trying to look for the guy that did it. 12 dead, many more injured.
That was the one in Berlin, right? Didn't they arrest someone and then let him go or something?
Let him go because they didn't have...
And because Merkel probably said, oh, no.
She is a disgrace.
Yeah, she is a disgrace.
She is a disgrace. Disgrace. Here's a little something. Kids connecting on social media are less satisfied with real life. That's from Bloomberg.com. Which goes into something else we were talking about before. Let me see here. Half of people remember events that never happened. And BBC, we said we were going to talk about it tonight, algorithms are making us narrow-minded. Your life is mapped out for you. This is from BBC, bigblackcock.com. Your life is mapped out for you, but not in the way that you think. How predictive algorithms narrow your perspective and ultimately your choices. Now, Gadget Doc had provided us with some really, really compelling stuff. Really compelling stuff, and we had talked about this on the air in the past, with just how drastically Google search results have and can impact the voting outcomes of the populace in general, and more specifically, certain demographics, as high as 60%. Gadget Doc, if we can get that, you know what? I'll save this algorithms for tomorrow. I'll save this again for tomorrow so that we can get that in collected, just so we can tie it all together again. Because as this stuff continues to come out, it's going to need. We need to stay free. Everybody that says fake news, good. Let everything be fake. Let us decide for ourselves. We have so many ways of collecting raw data, raw footage, raw information, testimonials, putting it all together. We need to take responsibility again. There was a time when news curation was, we had only one choice. Because we've had more than enough examples of fake news over the last couple of years. Alone. There's a reason why Dan Rather and Brian Williams have zero reputation anymore. So we'll get that for tomorrow. Let me see here. So we'll do Berlin tomorrow. Also tomorrow, a very important article. We have to talk about this. Barack Obama banning oil and gas drilling in most Arctic and Atlantic oceans.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It needs to be checked out because it's actually a little bit more deep than that. A lot of things will be easy to rescind and to turn around. This might have some staying power, so we'll see. This one I thought was funny, and we'll stop with this because it's more Star Wars, and I love talking Star Wars. This is from Bloomberg.com. Now, my response to this, it got a lot of comments, and mine only was that this was the most embarrassing thing ever. Rogue One doesn't solve sci-fi's big problem. Okay? When I left the theater, this is from an idiot named Stephen L. Carter. When I left the theater after seeing Rogue One, a Star Wars story, my first thought was, what about the Bothans? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go all Star Wars nerd on you. We hope that you would, because then that would give us a little bit more of an understanding of what you're actually talking about. For those of us who actually know what they're talking about when it comes to Star Wars, even though that's not like a badge of honor. This column isn't aimed mainly at fans, and it has a different point. Also, no spoilers. I wrote earlier this year about the challenge of speciesism in the movies. My worry is that it is getting worse. Let me be clear. I enjoyed the movie enormously. Don't take what I have to say as a reason not to see it. Although, if you're planning to see it, you've probably already seen it. But there's still a problem. The term speciesism is used many different ways, including by animal rights activists. In sci-fi, it refers to the belief in the innate superiority or central importance of humans as against creatures from elsewhere. Well, let me see. In sci-fi, what is science fiction? Science fiction is a genre of literature, a genre of filmmaking, movie making that is prevalent on the planet Earth, written mostly not by dogs, but by human beings, which would make you think that in science fiction that originates on the planet Earth, written by the species that we know as humans, it's going to be a human-centric. You see, just like we were talking about before, where it is beyond common sense that if you are in any kind of a country that has an ethnic majority, the ethnic minorities will always feel like they've been left out of the party in some way or are overlooked or underrepresented, just because the numbers. Duh. Okay, me as an Italian-American is going to feel real left out of culture and everyday life in Beijing. So, I guess this is a real big problem that this is actually published on Bloomberg is unbelievable. Because right off the bat, it's ridiculous. The term speciesism, so we got that. So humans are the good guys. Other species are invaders, monsters, liars, in short, dangerous aliens. Well, if you're talking about Star Wars, which this is about, there's nothing farther from the truth. I mean, the only aliens that are really employed by the Empire... I mean, there are some aliens that reached high ranks in the Empire. I mean, you look at Grand Admiral Thrawn in the extended universe that has been brought into the Disney Rebels series. You look at any of the comic books and any... I mean, there's tons of people that work with the Empire, but mostly, you know, the ragtag bunch of bounty hunters, you know? So... We understand there, but for the most part, most of the aliens are in the rebellion. You know, most of the aliens are hanging out in bars, they're conducting business, they're doing that. I mean, for Christ's sake, that's not really what's going on here. So, don't worry, I won't go on. Blah, 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 blah. Which brings us to the Bothans. Now, I had brought up the Bothans. Bothans are kind of like dog-like humanoid creatures. They stand on, they're bipeds, they stand on two legs. They're very proud, regal-looking people, manes of beautiful hair. Let me see if I can get a picture. Bothans.
For democracy.
For democracy! Let's see here. Let me get a really good picture of them. I guess this is a good enough picture. Check this out. Screen capture. It's kind of all right. I mean, that's a Bothan, okay? It's like a dog-like character, but they are known for their spying. They're known for their espionage. They're very, very, very... they can get in anywhere, okay? So... Let me be clear, I enjoyed the movie enormously, so don't take what I have to say, blah, blah, blah. Let's go back to 1983 Star Wars film, now tragically known as Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. You don't have to have seen the film to know the plot. The Rebellion, a.k.a. the good guys, is trying to destroy the Empire's second version of their planet-pulverizing Death Star. Darth Vader leads the bad guys to try to stop them. Clean, simple. And they talk about the Bothans... How they're not the good guys have stolen the secret architectural plans to the Death Star and must analyze them swiftly to find a flaw before it arrives and pulverizes their planet. And how exactly were the plans stolen? Rebel leader Mon Mothma tells us many Bothans died to bring us this information. The audience thinks, I don't know what a Bothan is, but they sure sound heroic. But there is no further mention of the species in that film or any others in the franchise, and definitely no sight of one. You start thinking to yourself, okay, all right, you know Bothans don't actually exist? You know they don't exist, right? None of this exists. Even the ardent Star Wars fan knows none of this exists. So fast forward now to Rogue One. It's a prequel of the movie now known as A New Hope. It tells us a story of how the good guys got the plans to destroy the first Death Star. The tale cleverly set up and quite engaging. There's only one problem. No Bothans. Except for a single droid, everyone who knows, everybody who matters. It's beyond belief. How they can just say that. She mentions no Bothans before Episode 6. and then wonders where the Bothans were in Rogue One prior to Episode 4. There's no mention of Bothans yet until 1983. You said it yourself, you fucking idiot. Did you read this? This is your article. Oh. Oh. All right, so there you go, everybody. Speciesism. You read it if you want to. Fuck it. But tomorrow night's going to be a good one. And I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. And tomorrow's Wednesday. It'll be great. I'm going to go slip into a band practice now, and then I got to find something to eat. But you have been fantastic fellow travelers on this journey as we shot off through space. Oh, I forgot to bring that up. But I don't have to spend too much time on it. Listen to this, guys. An ancient vial of miracle blood failed to liquefy, and that's a bad omen in 2017.
Oh, that's in the Vatican, right?
One of the most famous recurring miracles, even if one not quite sanctioned by the Catholic Church, is the liquefaction of the dried blood of San Gennaro. Mm-hmm. A bishop of Naples martyred around 305 AD and the city's patron saint. Starting in 1389, the vial of San Gennaro's blood typically turns liquid three times a year. That's weird. On Saturday before the first Sunday of May, on his saint's feast, the day of September 19th, and on December 16th, the day Mount Vesuvius erupted in 1631. The blood liquefied on September 19th this year, but not on December 16th. In local lore, the failure of the blood to liquefy signals war, famine, disease, and other disasters, the Catholic News Agency reports. The relic failed to liquefy in September of 1939. Of course, September 1st, 1939, as we all know, was the start of Hitler's Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, but I think this time it's the end of the church. I don't think it's going to be a global war.
It happened again during the cholera outbreak in Naples in 1973, and in 1980, the year of the deadly earthquake. Italy's La Stampa newspaper says. But Monsignor Vincenzo de Gregorio, the abbot of the Chapel of the Treasure of San Gennaro, took on a philosophical view. Quote, "We must not think of disasters and calamities," he counseled, according to ANSA, news agency. "We are all men of faith and we must pray." So, for some of you out there, just watch out. The blood has not liquefied. But, I wanted to leave you with that. Oh, I didn't do the... I'm sorry. I didn't finish the shout-outs. Michael Wells. Nikki Solis. I went with it, too. I stopped at Nikki Solis. Think about that. We stopped at Nikki because she put us on the path to talk about the solstice. Andrew Dame. Laura Veris. Perry and Stacy Little. Mike May. Matt Smith. Sean Collins. Christian Peppers, Max Ancaparato, Rob Corrado, L.S. Dan, Rudy S. Garcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, Pierre. Pierre's got to call in and tell me how to pronounce his name. Our good friend Pierre from Normandy. Matt DeFabio, right over there. Brad Meyer, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Brian O'Connor Jr., Marianne Hart, Bren Antilles of Rogue Squadron. Bren did not like Rogue One. I hope he calls in. I know that he's way ahead in the UK time, but I hope he calls in one day because I saw his update on Facebook and he didn't like it. I'd love to talk to him about it, see what he didn't like. And of course, Stephanie K of Stephanie K Beauty. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. See, Brian, you say that I'm so ADD, but this is what a stream of consciousness free association show is like. I can stick to a script, but then there won't be any of that classic flow we have. You know what kind of... We had some great talks from the solstice on. Nikki says, "I'm good at distracting people." And then Frankie Castle says, because you are hot and very distracting. Ooh, Frankie Castle's making a play on the girl from Ohio. Everybody, if you haven't contributed anything to the Patreon, by all means, I'd love to have you as a contributor. And I would love to hit that $500. I would love to hit that $500 mark. Other than that, I'm thankful for everything that you guys do. Share it with a friend. Like this stream. Share everything. Subscribe to all the places that we post on and write reviews and whatever. And always submit stories that you want to hear me talk about. What I was saying this before, so this is the last announcement of the night. I think that we have our best shows when we have media to respond to. Okay, we have media to respond to. We did it last night with the Oprah interview with Michelle Obama. We did it tonight with the MTV bullshit. And we did it tonight with that woman screaming in Wisconsin. If you guys see any kind of clips, any kind of interviews, anything like that that you would like to see featured on this show, send me media. Okay? It's one thing to send me an article. Send me media. Something that we can just have a fun time with, rip apart. So that's what we will do. And that will be that. All right. Good night, everybody. Hold on. Wait a second. I'm trying to find the really good part of the song. I think this might be it right here. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic night. Stay badass.